Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
With regard to the land transfer tax, what is the story, what are the possibilities, and how much attention is being paid to it?
I think a lot of attention should be paid to it. It is a big cash cow for the City of Toronto, and certainly requires review, because if we place all our spending criterias on that tax, that will level off and will decrease because of the very high construction activity that's occurring in the city. So at some point we have to wean ourselves off that level of revenue that's being brought in at present day.
But what kind of a dilemma is this for the budget committee, I guess, and the administration? It's a pledge by the mayor to get rid of it, yet it is responsible for some of the revenue that the city needs and that you need to balance the books and maybe even get ahead of the game.
Well, certainly my take has always been to balance the books and then look at what comes out of it. There are a number of other initiatives that are being undertaken, like the core review studies, the efficiency studies that are still going on. People have forgotten about that, but that's still going on. Once we can balance our revenues with our expenses on the operating side, we'll be looking at the capital side of it and certainly try to influence city building from the point of view of perhaps taking a few dings at the MLTT and looking at doing something for our business community with respect to business taxes.
Let me be clear, though, because I'm not sure if I'm hearing you correct. Is the plan still to work towards eliminating that land transfer tax?
I think ultimately the mayor's goal is to do that. Whether it can be done all at once, obviously, is being hard to do, but certainly trying to make some inroads to reduce that tax is quite possible.
And what is your plan, or what have you been thinking about in terms of tackling that tax? How much of a rate reduction over what period of time?
Well, I think it would be gradual, and I think I personally would recommend something at a 5% declining rate.
Over how many years?
Well, divide 5% into 100, and that'll tell you 20 years on the outside of it, and certainly on the inside of things. Again, it just depends. The thing is very fluid. It's not static, so one has to look at it and determine that one is going to start to make some attempt to do something. But again, it's kind of premature without going through the budget process and determining where we're at.
No, I understand. I'm just wondering how the mayor is going to reconcile all of this in a re-election campaign, because it was a pledge.
Well, it was a pledge. So were all kinds of other things which the mayor can't deliver because council has gone against him. So, I mean, we have the debate about, you know, really the mayor who has a citywide mandate and the councillors who have individual parochial mandates. So there's a conflict there. And in terms of one wanting to and attempting to is a lot different than actually being able to. So I think the intent is still there, and I think people recognize the intent is still there. It's just a question of
to do it. Sure, great point. It's one that lots of us raise during election campaigns when candidates pledge all kinds of things, like reducing the number of councillors that are going to be there by the third year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I guess my other question is, how much attention can we pay to pledges of politicians who are running for re-election, period?
I'm sorry, John, say that again.
I was going to say, how much attention should we all pay to pledges of all politicians seeking re-election now that you've all had the experience of the reality of dealing with government?
Look, John, politics is politics, and some politicians are better than others of promising the world and delivering nothing. I think people are going to have to judge individual people by what they say and what they stand for. Myself personally, I didn't make any kind of pledge or promise that I wasn't prepared to keep or be able to achieve. So I'm sort of like a tradesman trying to deal with the issue at hand in the city. Again,
I'm just partly teasing you and partly you know, partly not. As a tradesman, I've been watching elections in this city, in this country, in this province for 35 years. So, I mean, every time an election comes out, and I put those questions out to the to those running for election who are promising the moon and not acknowledging the fact that the process and the system doesn't necessarily let them do that.
No, I understand that. But at the same time, I think some of the achievements that have been undertaken by this mayor are quickly overlooked. I mean, you look at the labor side of issues here. I mean, that has been a huge, huge accomplishment that previous two mayors since amalgamation have not been able to deliver. He's delivered that, and people just, you know, okay, what's next? But, I mean, that when you look at the history of labor negotiations here, not having any disruption, and part of the first quarter positive variance is $26 million with the labor contract. So nothing to sneeze at there. And when you look at removing the car registration tax, I mean, he did that as well, reducing councillors' expense budgets. That got reduced. Garbage in terms of privatizing that part of it, he did. I mean, so people are quick to jump. I think you got to look at the overall package. And yes, people do promise things, but then how many of those things have come to fruition, I think, is the other test that one has to use. And there's some very big nuts that he's cracked. And as I say, like the land transfer tax, he's been on my case since day one that I got appointed here, that he wants something done on that. And I've held out for two budgets simply because we could not do it. And if we were to listen to the naysayers at City Hall who just want to spend, we would have just, you know, gone ahead, blown our brains out spending and then not being able to know how to recoup. And he's really put a tight rein, and he's put me to control the funding. And we're being challenged by councillors who are very parochial, and any kind of squeak to the wheel, they want to immediately do things for them. I mean, one of the things that just is very, very, in my mind, is such a red flag is when 20 councillors supported bringing in an affinity card for the city, which would have cost the city $25 million. And they did that with the push of a button to vote yes to that. And I just shake my head because I don't know whether these people understand what they're doing. They see any kind of money available as an opportunity to spend. And we've, you know, gone through a very long road to bring the finances in order. We've spent less in this budget than in the previous budget, and we're trying to control costs. So, you know, where would we be if some of these promises and pledges were not kept?
So what's the number that will be presented to the Budget Committee today in terms of savings or like efficiencies or surplus, however you want to characterize it?
Well, staff is telling us it's through their projection. Again, I don't micromanage or do all of the detailed work myself, although I'd love to, but they tell me it's going to be maybe in the neighborhood of about $90 million. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the $90 million, I mean, that's already spoken for in terms of those streetcars I keep talking about for the last 2 years. And now you've got the Gardner, which wants to take $150 million over the next 10 years. So there's no shortage of, you know, where to deal with it on the capital side. But on the operating side, people just think, well, you know, let's just spend more money and more programs and do some vote buying, which is the opposite of promising to do things and you can't deliver, as opposed to spending your way to buy votes.
So land transfer tax may get attention by next year's budget.
Certainly looking at it.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Bye.